From the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let's all bow in prayer and seek the Lord's face. Our Father and our God in heaven, we praise thee, Lord, that we're in the presence of God. We praise thee, Lord, that the Lord has promised to be where two or three gather together in thy name. And Lord, as we meet in thy name today, we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst draw near. We pray, Lord, that we'd know a rich sense of the presence of God. We thank thee, Lord, for all the blessings that we have in Christ. We praise thee, Lord, for the cross tonight. We praise thee, Lord, for the one who left heaven's glory, gave his life a ransom for our souls. And we praise thee, Lord, for salvation provided, so rich, so full, and so free. And we pray, Lord, that as we worship thee, that the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable in thy sight. We pray especially for the preaching of thy word. Remember thy child as he brings the message tonight. We pray, Lord, that we will know the blessing of God, and may we hear that still small voice of the Spirit of God speaking to each one of our hearts. Glorify thy name, we ask. We give thee thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. We're turning for a scripture reading to the book of Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon, and reading from verse 8. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse 8. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake, and he said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, thou art in the cleft of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the day break, and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like the roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. Amen, and the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his truth. We're now going to sing that lovely hymn, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds in a Believer's Ear.
Well, it's nice to be with you, and we're going to turn to Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse 8, and just the first part of verse 8. But before we turn to it, let's unite our hearts briefly in a word of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray thou wilt bless us now as we turn to thy word. Speak through thy word. We thank you that thy word is truth, and we pray that the power of God will be felt in the preaching of the truth of God. Hear us, we pray, and watch over us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's just the first expression in verse 8 of Song of Solomon chapter 2 that I want us to consider. And it simply says, the voice of my beloved. The Song of Solomon is a sacred love song, and it depicts the relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. It is called in verse 1, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. That idea behind the Song of Songs is that it is the very best of songs. The King of Kings is the greatest king. The Lord of Lords is the greatest Lord. And in the first chapter, we find the church, the bride of Christ, longing for her beloved. She says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. She has an intense longing for her heavenly bridegroom. And that is the desire that the church has for the Lord Jesus Christ. The hymn writer said, "There is no love like the love of Jesus, never to fade or fall, till into the fold of the peace of God he has gathered us all." Now there's another aspect of the Lord Jesus Christ found in the verse that I've chosen for my text. The bride hears the voice of her beloved, and she exclaims in excitement, "The voice of my beloved." You'll see an exclamation mark in our translation. I know it's not in the original, but the idea is there. Here is excitement on the part of the bride because her beloved is very near. And as we think about that, the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the first thing I want us to consider is the fact that the voice of Jesus Christ is a recognizable voice. That is implied in the bride's excitement and surprise. She has been waiting for him to come, and then she hears his voice. And she has to say, "It's my beloved." She knows that it is his voice. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. He says in John chapter 10 and verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." There's a very interesting illustration of this in the Biblical Illustrator. An American who was traveling in Syria saw three native shepherds bringing their flocks to the same brook, and the flocks drank there together. At length, one of the shepherds arose, and he called out the Arabic for "follow me." I won't even try to say the words in case I say them wrongly. And then, when he said those words, his sheep came out of the common herd, and they followed him up the hillside. Then the next shepherd did the same, and his sheep went away with him. He didn't even stop to count his sheep to see if they were all present. He knew automatically that they had heard his voice, that they had recognized it, and as a result, had followed him. The American turned to the remaining shepherd, and he said, "Just give me your turban and crook, and see if they will not follow me as soon as follow you." So he put on the shepherd's dress, he called out the Arabic for "follow me," but not a sheep moved. You see, they did not recognize the American's voice as the voice of their shepherd. And what that means in practice is this: God's people will not be deceived by false teachers. They will not listen to someone who says, "Jesus Christ is not God. Jesus Christ did not perform miracles. He did not walk on the sea. He did not feed the hungry with five loaves and two little fish." God's people will not be deceived by such teaching. They recognize that Jesus Christ is God, that he was virgin born, that he lived a sinless life, that he performed mighty miracles, and that he went to the cross of Calvary and died for sinners, and that he rose again on the third day. God's people have absolutely no doubt about that matter. They have heard the voice of Christ. Christ is the living word. The scriptures are the written word, and the two never are in disagreement. And so Christ says, "My sheep hear my voice." The sheep recognize the voice of their shepherd. And we know that Jesus Christ is God. We know who he is, and we listen for his voice. I love the words that John Newton wrote in one of his hymns. He said, "What think ye of Christ is a test to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. As Jesus appears in your view, as he is beloved or not, so God is disposed to you, and mercy or wrath is your lot. Some take him a creature to be, a man or an angel at most, but they have not feelings like me, nor know themselves wretched and lost. So guilty, so helpless am I, I durst not confide in his blood, nor on his protection rely, unless I were sure he is God. Isn't that tremendous? I could not depend on him to be my Savior, John Newton is saying, in essence, unless I were convinced that Jesus Christ is God. So the voice of Jesus Christ is a recognizable voice. God's people will not be deceived by any person denying or decrying the Lord Jesus Christ. That voice speaks beautifully to us. It speaks of pardon from sin. It speaks of peace with God. It speaks of his tremendous love for us. It speaks assurance and hope to our souls. In Psalm 85 and verse 8, the psalmist says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. Now that's the voice that you and I need to hear every morning, every evening, and indeed throughout the day. And we will hear it as we spend time in the presence of the Savior day by day. When you awake in the morning, read the Word of God, and there you will hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. But keep listening, keep looking, keep asking for God to speak to you. It's not enough simply to glance at the Scriptures, as many people do. You need to meditate. You need to pray that God will speak to you, that God will bless you through his truth. It's a wonderful voice, and it's a wonderful thing when the Lord draws near and speaks to us. But then we'll hear that voice even more distinctly if there's two-way communication. Not only I read the Scriptures, but I also spend time in prayer. The hymn writer said, oh, the pure delight of a single hour when before thy throne I spend, and I kneel in prayer, and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Let us not slacken in our daily devotions, lest we lose that delightful voice speaking to us that has so much to say to us, to comfort us, and to guide us. But the second thing I want to say is this. The sound of Christ's voice means that he is not far away from us. Notice what the bride has to say. The voice of my beloved, she says, behold, he cometh. There is a translation of the Hebrew called the Septuagint. It's a Greek translation. And in the Greek, the idea is, he's here. He has arrived. Behold, he cometh. He's here. He has arrived. You know how it is with children? If they're waiting for friends to come, they're always watching. They're running to the window. They're opening the door. And it seems as if the friends will never arrive. And then when they hear the car or look through the window and they see the car, they're excited. They say they're here. That's the idea behind that expression. The voice of my beloved, behold, he is here. And when you hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the idea is this, that he's very, very close. He's right there at your side. In a sense, he's at your elbow. So close is the Lord Jesus Christ when you hear his voice. And how encouraged you are, how overwhelmed with joy and with rapture. The Lord has come. The Lord has drawn near to me. I've heard his voice. He's right beside me. And the bride elaborates on her thoughts, because she doesn't just say he's here, but she says he's come and he's leaping on the mountains. He's skipping upon the hills. That's beautiful and very vivid language. If you think of mountains and hills, they speak of enormous difficulties to us. If you go out to Nepal, you will discover that 8 of the 10 highest mountains in the world are found in that land, the highest being the most famous one, Mount Everest, over 29,000 feet high. And that's almost 9,000 meters. And it is no mean feat to climb to the summit of that mountain. Indeed, many people have perished in the attempt. Now, when we read of mountains and hills here, we should think of the many difficulties that stood in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was coming into this world. He had to come by way of the virgin birth. And that was unique. Of all the billions, some have calculated 60 billion, who have lived on this earth, only one has come by the way of the virgin birth. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to lead a spotless life. He had to bear the judgment of God against his people's sins. And after his death, by a cruel crucifixion, he had to rise from Joseph's tomb, unaided by man. Indeed, a guard was set on the tomb, and the tomb was sealed to prevent the Lord Jesus Christ from rising from that tomb. But here is what the Song of Solomon says: "Behold, he cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills." Nothing but nothing could stop Christ from coming to save his people from their sins. The hymn writer put it this way: "Death cannot keep his prey. Jesus, my Savior, he tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah. Christ arose." He made light of the difficulties, enormous though they were. He made light of those difficulties, and the reason he made light of those difficulties, it was his tremendous love for us that impelled him forward. He knew in eternity past what he would have to do. He knew when he came into this world what he would have to do. He knew those enormous difficulties, but so great was his love, he made light of the difficulties. He cometh, leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. And may I say this, nothing can stop our Savior from coming to his people today. No trouble, no sickness, no sorrow, no failure, the approach of death, or even death itself. Now, sometimes we get only glimpses of him. It's here in the passage. You see, he cometh, he's looking through the lattice, he's behind the wall. But a glimpse of Christ brings joy and gladness to the heart of the child of God. It ravishes our hearts. We are so pleased. And then I may say as well, there are times when you think he's slow to come. The disciples who were toiling on the Sea of Galilee might have thought Christ was slow to come. He was away praying, and they were rowing hard in a storm. They thought they were going to perish. But Christ came at just the right time. He came precisely on time to rescue his disciples. In this chapter, in verse 9, the beloved is likened to a rower, a young hart. And Dr. John Gill, in his commentary, tells us that these animals are well known for their swiftness in running and agility in leaping. Christ comes swiftly to us just when you need him. Just when your problem is at its greatest and your heart is crushed, the Lord Jesus Christ comes. He comes swiftly to our rescue. Doesn't matter how great the problems, doesn't matter how much we fear, the Lord Jesus Christ always comes seasonably. He always comes in time. And when he comes, he revives his people. Read through the rest of the chapter. The beloved comes. He says, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." Because he says, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth. That's springtime. That's a time of blessing. It's a time when you look out into the fields and you see the animals frolicking in the fields, the young calves that have been allowed out into the fields, they run around excitedly. They're so pleased that they're now free. That's what happens when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to his people. There's a spring in their step. They are refreshed, they are revived, they are uplifted. How wonderful it is when the Lord comes to his people and strengthens his people. Look unto him. Look for his voice. Listen to his voice. But what if you're not saved? What if you're not a child of God? He has something to say to you. And the first word he says to you is the word repent. You need to turn from your sins, confess your sins. You need to call upon the name of the Lord. But also, he says to you, come. Repent, turn from your sins, come. In Matthew 11 and verse 28, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How wonderful to have the Lord Jesus Christ not only guiding us and instructing us as to our need of repentance, but also inviting us to come to him. The one who died on the cross, the one who shed his blood for sinners, invites sinners to come to him, and he promises that he'll give them rest, that he'll give them peace and assurance, that he'll grant to them forgiveness. And the Bible does say, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How good is the Lord Jesus Christ? How good is the God we adore, our faithful, unchangeable friend? His love is as great as his power and knows neither measure nor end. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that thou wilt apply thy truth to our hearts, that we might hear thy voice, that we might obey thee, and that those who know thee not as Savior might call upon thee and seek thy face and taste and see that the Lord is good. We ask these mercies in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv.